There is no greater commitment than the commitment of God when He says, I will. Whenever He commits, there's absolutely no doubt that there will be a follow through. In Isaiah 43, beginning at verse 1, I'd like to read a few verses here and share with you some thoughts about walking by faith. Isaiah 43:1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Please notice again, God's commitment. And pay particular attention just for the moment when there is this reference to the fire in verse number 2. When you think about walking by faith, there's a ton of definitions and everybody has their own little take on it. But when you think about walking by faith, it is to be seen or to be understood that when a person steps out in a landing spot, that is not certain and where the outcome is not apparent. In the old days, they don't do it this way anymore. Now the young fellas and the ladies are in better shape these days, more strengthened than they were back in the day. Now they use ropes to come down out of their air assault vehicles and they're more precise in where they are placed, intelligence and is much better, but there was a day when the air assault vehicle would hover over elephant grass and get to about 4 or 5 feet above the ground and everybody had to bail out. And you really didn't know what was on the ground when you arrived there. And so if there was ever an illustration of walking by faith, it would be that, stepping out into something in which the outcome was not apparent. There was nothing for sure. You got what you got. It's sort of like when you think of this verse in reference to Daniel chapter 3, verse 23, when those three fellows were placed into the burning fiery furnace. They wound up in a landing zone that was very hot. When they got to the edge of the pit, I think the verse there, 23, mentions that they tumbled down over into the pit. And of course, those who ushered them there didn't quite make it. And yet, when you think about walking by faith, a person can understand that whenever they simply determine to honor God and obey His word, the outcome doesn't have to be apparent. It doesn't have to be. Because God is committed to doing certain things. Like, for example, think about Abraham and then put yourself in Abraham's place back in Genesis 12 and verse 1. Genesis 12 and verse number 1. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Now if we go no further, that's still a doable thing if you know where you're going. However unpleasant the prospect is, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred. Well, nobody wants to do that. But at least there is some certainty on the other side of that. Until you go into the rest of the verse, he said, get away from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Please notice that the second verse says, I will, there's the commitment of God, I will make of thee a great nation. I will make of thee a great nation. Now, the New Testament commentary on that particular reference is found in the book of Hebrews. Let me read that passage to you out of Hebrews 11 and the 8th verse. Says, well, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, and please notice what the rest of the verse says, not knowing whither he went. Not knowing. Walking by faith. What do you bank on when it is that you are summoned to go to a place where you really don't know where, but if God has said, then you can never do wrong by simply obeying what he has placed before you. Think about also in the life of Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. He has just been invited, or literally commissioned in verse 10. You're going to go talk to Pharaoh. You're going to lead my people out. And in verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And then please notice again in verse 12, certainly I will be with thee. There's the commitment of God. It is always wise never to go where God is not. It is always wise never to go where God is not. If he's not committed to being there, if he has not issued specific command, don't. But he said, I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. I will. And then think about Joshua. Over in Joshua chapter 1, walking by faith, Moses' shelf life is expired, and there's a new leader. And so we come to Joshua chapter 1, and the recommissioning in verse 5, verse number 5. He's encouraged with these words, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so, and here's the commitment, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now those are spoken by the God of whom it is said in the New Testament in Hebrews 13, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Hebrews 13, 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's committed to that. The great I wills. I want you to come to John's Gospel just for a moment. In rapid fire presentation, in John 14, John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now please again in verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Who would want to go to heaven if he's not going to be there? What would be the attraction in heaven if Jesus isn't going to be there? And besides him, what other incentive does a person need to finally arrive there? If he is not all-sufficient, then everything else that is, even in its limited display in Scripture, what else is there that is worth being there if he's not? And so we look also in the 14th verse here in John. And again, with respect to praying, if you ask anything in my name, here's his commitment. Here's his commitment. I will do it. I will. I will do it. And we also have this statement over in verse number 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will. It's a grand truth, the great I wills of the Lord. Over in chapter 16, chapter 16 and verse number 21. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Whenever you think about the whole prospect of childbirth, and only the ladies who have born children are able to reckon this, there is a certain amount, I would say, of uncertainty on the other side, on the far side of it. And yet, even while that is also true, it is quite to be expected that when God ordains the means to the end, which is the childbearing process, that He's with you all the way to the end of the process. But the I wills of God are an amazing commitment, and probably the one that is locked down more than anything, at least in its eternal significance, is what you find in John 6 and verse 37. In John 6 and verse number 37, great verse in a larger context, but there will be a little notation in the bulletin on Sunday about this, but suffice tonight to say, again, think about the depth and the weight of this commitment where you're concerned. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never, never, never cast you out. Not for any reason, not under any circumstances. There is absolutely no possibility of it. It is quite true that when a person is saved, the moment the person trusts the Lord Jesus as Savior, saved forever. And I know that people in different evangelical Bible teaching, Bible believing backgrounds will try to shave that and fudge with that truth by raising skeptical concerns of, well, what do you do if after a person professes to know the Lord and they fall into deep abiding sin that lasts seemingly long time and doesn't look like there's any light at the end of any tunnel, what then do you say? And the only thing a person can say is that if indeed there was a coming to Jesus, there is the truth in John 6:37, no matter how it looks and where the outcome is not apparent, he said, I will in no wise cast out. He has other options for a child of God in those circumstances, but I will never cast you out. So when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. When you walk through the fire, I will be with thee. Practically applied, we find in Psalm 23, verse number 4. Here's the practical application of the I wills of God concerning His commitment as we walk by faith, and it is this. In Psalm 23, 4, I will fear no evil. And the reason, because Thou art with me. Would you pray with me, please? Take us, dear Lord, to prayer. Help us to be faithful. And we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that You might strengthen, that You might encourage, that You might provide, and that You might, in all of life's activities, wherein You have ordered our steps, bring honor and glory to Your name. for Jesus' sake. Amen.